This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Please get in touch with your survivor stories or your thank you letters. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame. The highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. So, have you ever had a panic attack? I definitely have. But if you have, then you definitely know about it. It's a bizarre and disgracefully frightening sensation and continues to ripple through your nervous system for a long while in the aftermath. It's not something that you forget easily. If anyone ever tells you that panic attacks don't exist, they've been lucky enough to never experience one. So congratulate them on all their serotonin and just merrily move on. They are a very real thing and nothing to be ashamed of. Anxiety and overwhelm do not equal weakness. Picking yourself back up afterwards takes a lot. Comedian Mike Rice and I are discussing all this and more today. So it is June 2021, the year after COVID. Remember that old chestnut?
Yes, I remember it. I'm like an elephant.
Never forget.
Yeah, you don't forget.
I've tried.
Yeah, I've tried.
It is June 2021 and we are in, is it sunny in Barcelona right now?
Yeah. So, it is, yeah. Actually, do you know what? It was very sunny. And I was on this beach that was, but it's not in Barcelona, so it's down the way from Barcelona. It's
right.
Like, I think it's like near Lloret de Mar or one of these places. This was my first time, do you know, because in the main beach in Barcelona, it's very touristy, so you're not getting the real Spain, right? But when you're down the road, you're in these little towns, and it's the real people. And this was like during COVID, so it wasn't like mobbed with tourists or anything. So it's just like, I was there with my ex at the time, but we were actually exes at the time, so we actually, yeah, right. Yeah, it was.
Is she all right?
Yeah, she'll be fine.
It's our mutual friend, Marie Scohan, guest on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're still friends.
She's lovely.
Yeah, she's the best. So, anyway, so we were there and we had broken up, but we were still just hanging out. But it was the lockdown and it was like, you know, I was in Barcelona, she had moved to Spain as well. And it was like, do you know, it's a lonely time, you know. You need to be around people you know. So we were there anyway, but I didn't know about like that, just like all the boobies on the beach that everyone would have them out, and they're just everyone.
Are they just bobbing about like like Lilo's?
It was like Lilo's, exactly like Lilo's. I think I said that on the day.
Floating around.
Yeah, but it was like it was the best. I couldn't believe it. It was like heaven on earth. It was like the sun was shining, and Maurice was there, and she was pointing out people's boobs. She's like, "Oh, look at them ones," and she gave me. I swear to God.
It's like a safari.
Oh, unbelievable. Absolutely. She got little binoculars and little hats on us. We were in one of those little fucking jeeps.
Yeah. David Attenborough's in the back.
Absolutely. And over here is the old Spanish lady with the droopy breasts. And there was some saggy ones as well, but there was a beauty to them too.
Yeah, they're beautiful on all kinds.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like they're full of porridge. But so... Some of them. I don't want to get too graphic here.
See, porridge.
Yeah. Or some form of oatmeal. But so we were there, and it was just the best. She gave me these sunglasses, and she had them on as well because she was looking at them too. She was
she's that way inclined.
Absolutely, she's not immune to that sort of carry on. So so we were there. We were looking at that, and it was just great. And then we went to a bar afterwards, this beach bar, and we were listening to music, and we could still see from the patio all the boobies. They had not become strangers to us, so we were still we could see them from the patio, and it was great. And the best music was playing ever, like this, all this, like, I love this, like, kind of 60s, like, it's kind of like civil rights music, but it's like, you know, it's like, don't know much about history.
All these tunes, and like, when a man loves a woman.
It's my favorite genre. They're all bangers.
Yeah.
And we were buzzing. We were drinking, like, I can't remember what the fucking, it's like vermouth, this like Spanish drink, which generally tastes shit, but like added with the boobies and the other stimulants.
And because it's Spanish and you're there and you're excited for Spain.
It's very appropriate. And it's culturally on the money.
Yeah,
so so we were drinking that, and I remember thinking, this is the best day ever. I was just having the most fun. There was people across the way from us, this little huddle of Spanish people, and they were doing cocaine, and they were just like kind of just screaming at each other, and I thought that was fun as well. And then I was like, oh God, would I maybe like some cocaine? I said, no, don't be greedy. So, and I didn't speak enough Spanish to ask him for some. So anyway, we get back to the apartment, and then we're just high on the boobies and the vermouth and the music and everything. So he said, by Jesus, sure, we'd better have sex now or it'll all be for nothing. So so anyway.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd do that.
So anyway, we do that, and it's all, it's the bee's knees. We both think we're Spanish, and we're like,
so high on the environment.
Señorita, you know. So, you know, we're both like just Irish, but like, you know, that's not sexy about that, really. Well, maybe there is.
What about two Irish people?
We've
had this conversation already on Instagram.
I think Irish people and other people are a sexy combination, and
it's two Irish people together.
Like, absolutely.
Here he comes.
Oh, Jesus, the cat's in. Yeah. So my theory is that, because it's like, Irish women kind of hate Irish men, and Irish men kind of hate Irish women a little bit. Not hate, but like, hate's too strong a word, but like, outside people love Irish.
I love the
Irish men and Irish women. Like, other men love Irish women, and other women like Irish men.
My mum loves the Irish.
Does she?
Like, to a crazy degree.
Has she made love to an Irish man?
I think she says that she hasn't.
Yeah. She hasn't.
But I tell you, when my dad left, we went to Club Med.
Yeah.
And there was an Irish guy called Jason who worked there.
Right.
And he said to her, and she told me this when I was like seven, so
right.
Boundaries. But she said, she went, Jason, who worked at Club Med, came up to her and went, I want to cover you in yogurt and lick it all off.
Jesus Christ, Jason.
And
he strayed a long way from Christ.
Yeah, and I...
Fucking hell.
That is the mouth of a sinner.
Yeah, absolutely. Mouthful of sins.
Yeah, the power of Christ.
Yeah.
And she was like, nothing happened. I'm like, if Irish man, when you've just been left by your husband, comes up and says, I want to cover you in yogurt and lick it all off, then you're not going to not let him do that.
You've got to take, that's the universe.
And we were in Greece, there was a lot of yogurt.
Was there? Just covering yourself. I mean, it is a when in Rome situation. And Jason knew that. He knew it was the place to make a sexual yogurt joke. Because the place is full of it. He knew she wouldn't have any trouble getting it.
The Irish. The Irish together. So, like, English women, Irish men.
Yeah, and just... Yeah, as in the Irish people ourselves don't... And that's just, of course, that's just natural. Because it's like anything foreign or exotic is, you know, attracts people. So, like, in Ireland... We're all kind of suspicious of each other. We're like, what the fuck are you over there? So as soon as the sex ends, as soon as I finish, I stepped up from the bed and my legs just like went to jelly. I couldn't stand, and then suddenly I couldn't breathe.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I was like, yeah. And I was like, I couldn't breathe, and suddenly I was like, just pouring sweat, and I had to run to the bathroom, and I ended up like getting sick, and it was shooting out of everywhere, to be honest. And but also, I know this is not
it's this place for all of it.
This is not what your listeners are after. But listen, this is the truth.
My listeners are filthy.
Yeah, and they can't run from it any longer. You've been trying to escape, and now it's here. Sorry, lads. So then I'm on the ground, and I'm shivering, and I can't breathe. And so then, like, she's coming over. She's like, "Oh, you're right here." Mm. But you could see on her face. She was like, "It was probably a good idea. We broke up, you know. This man is not—he's not really coping." So it was very interesting because the whole day had been so like escapist. Like, it was almost like this dreamlike thing, and then it just went from heaven to hell so quick. Now I didn't realize that at the time, but I was having a panic attack.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, a really bad one. So I just couldn't breathe. Like, I thought I was dying. I really thought I was dying. Now, it could have been mixed with some kind of sunstroke, but I didn't realize until about 3 weeks later, before I was like skiing, doing indoor skiing in Dubai. So I was doing a gig there, and the same thing happened to me. Wow. And I just fell on the snow. It wasn't a bad fall at all. And then I just couldn't get up. And I was
And
I was like,
did that come with the vomit as well? Or was it that one didn't come with vomit.
I think because we had been drinking so much in the Spanish panic attack, that's what probably induced that. But I had to, like, they literally had to, medical professionals, like first aid, had to come and put me in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe. Yeah. I thought it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. On the skiing one. But anyway, after that, I started going to a CBT therapist. Yeah. But I have been to several therapists. But they were like, it was just like a pinnacle. I don't know if you've ever had it where you just have. Is it generalized anxiety? So you just have anxiety all the time.
Yeah,
like there's
just
a feeling in your chest.
Yeah.
Like for 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. It can come with burnout as well.
Is that right? Mm. Yeah. So that was the kind of dramatic conclusion of that. And I think it was because it was at a time in my life that we had been in a relationship, we had broke up, but we had been such good friends. It was really heartbreaking.
Right, like,
break up.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of still lingering on, but you know, like that's having even subconsciously, that's having a really negative effect on you.
Yeah.
And like, it's just prolonging, this pain is just continuing and continuing. And then also it was during the pandemic, and I just didn't know with comedy if I was going to be able to make a living again. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was just like, I was paralyzed by indecision. I was in Barcelona. I was like, what am I going to do with my life, my career? So I just so much, I think they're called like open loops. I heard someone talk about recently in my life, which is like, you know, so many things that are like unresolved that I have not made decisions on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like all these open loops that even when I'm doing anything else, they are in your mind, back of your mind, causing you stress, whether you know it or not, because you haven't made a fucking decision.
Exactly, yeah.
But you can be incapable. That's the thing with depression and anxiety sometimes. It's like, I can't make a fucking decision.
Anyone who doesn't understand what that is, like,
yeah,
would give a little Wikipedia rundown.
Okay, so an open loop would be like, say, So I have a couple running in my head right now about like friends that I kind of had a falling out with and I just have not resolved it.
I have that as well.
And that's just, that will just pop up. That's just living in my mind because I haven't resolved it. I also have like things that admin stuff that's kind of just quite fucking dull and like just will take focus that I haven't done and that I'm procrastinating on, and that's just another open loop that's just living in my consciousness. So several ones like this. It's basically just unresolved things, things you have not confronted that you should have, decisions that you've not made that you need to make.
Yeah.
And so they are just, no matter what's happening, they are just...
They're lingering
and it has an effect on your physiology and your stress levels. Even when you don't realize, you just feel the physical symptoms of anxiety.
Do you remember, it's something that was like an old Victorian technique about when you needed to remember something, you tied a ribbon around your finger. Have you ever heard that? That's what people used to do. A weird as fuck thing.
We would have ignored and had a lot of hostility towards old Victorian techniques in Ireland. We would have, if you told me an old Victorian, I would have threw a cup of tea in your face. If I had any tea left, I would have thrown it in your face.
Get those goddamn ribbons away from me.
Come over to me with your ribbons and tie me up like some sort of a prize pig.
But it was definitely a thing that people used to tie ribbons around their hands so they would remember that they had stuff to do. Yeah. One feels like a massive inconvenience, but then there is always this weighted thing, this constant reminder of something that is going on that is not finalized.
Yes.
And it, what's worse, I guess, is if you have these things physically presently there and you can't exactly match up what they're for, and yet they're still there and getting in the way of your day. Is fucking, it's really exhausting and really, really stressful. And often in moments when you find the moments of peace, you're like, oh shit, I think, okay, oh cool, I've sorted everything. And then this thing will go, no, you haven't.
That's right.
Remember, you fell out with that really good friend of yours, because I have that at the moment.
I have that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can be friends.
Yeah. We'll be new friends. Well, We don't need those other friends. Yeah.
Okay, that was what we've explained, the open loops. Like, yeah, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. This like thing that just keeps popping.
Yeah, the open loops. Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yes.
But this whole situation kind of makes total sense because of a lot of the time when we're in a situation that is so extreme in a great way. Like if I had it kind of at my brother's wedding where it was like, it was so nice. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to see all of it, but it was so much. So I was just like overwhelmed and didn't know. It was like, it couldn't be real. And having that kind of day, which does sound fucking glorious.
It was the best. I couldn't believe it.
Best day.
Yeah.
I would love to live that day. I'm sure I've had similar days in the past, but that kind of thing. And then you're having sex and it's great. Yeah. And it's with someone you already have a connection with.
Right.
So it's not totally removed from you. And then that moment of finishing and going, and suddenly we all know what happens when you come. Thank you. Why couldn't I fucking say
it's
it?
Dirty, dirty words.
Why couldn't I say it? It's because it's not like my family listened to this.
Because
Christ.
You know Christ is watching, and you know you're going to have trouble getting in up there. You know that, Emily.
I don't want if who I think is going up there and who I think is going, I want to be down there.
Yeah.
I want to be down there with the sinners.
The fun people.
I want to be down there with Jason and his pot of yogurt.
Oh, Jason, Jason is going straight to hell, the bastard.
Straight to hell.
I'd say he's still in that bar, still fucking telling fucking owl ones he wants to put yogurt all over them.
Just like a ladle in a...
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know like the kebab shop? Right, so just he has that just to pour over women and lick it off him like a fucking cat.
He puts them on a stick and does it like a chocolate fountain.
Absolutely. And you know well that guy is leaning into his Irish accent big time. Like, do you know what I mean? Like yogurt.
Oh yeah, yogurt. Yeah. I want to cover you in yogurt.
Absolutely.
Also, newly left mum with three kids.
Oh, jeez. I'd say she was up the walls. Oh,
she was far up the walls.
Yeah. She was just biting at the tabletop like... And she told you as a 7-year-old.
Don't get me started.
She said, come here now.
Come here to me now.
Come here to me now.
Come here to me now.
To tell you something, Emily. The best thing just happened to me. I just had the best thing.
What should I do? Like, what do you think I should go for it?
Yeah. Do you think you'll give me a rash yogurt or you know, what's your take on it altogether?
Babe, have you been in this situation before?
Yeah, you're there drinking the Capri's.
Where's daddy?
Yeah.
We're not talking about daddy.
About this one day.
This is Ellen Bauer going, did your parents pay for your education, you fucking loser?
Yeah.
Look at you talking to a microphone. private education is bullshit.
But anyway, so the
We're talking about coming.
Yeah.
Now, so we get to the point of coming, yes. And that kind of like finish on it,
yeah.
And then you're brought slamming back down to earth, like yes. The rapture's just happened, and you haven't been taken up, and being acutely aware of your surroundings, the connection that you have that yeah. isn't actually going forward,
yeah.
The temporary nature of this entire thing, I'd have a fucking panic attack.
That's right. Well, see, that's it. It's that moment of clarity and everything. Even you have been drinking, but you've probably also been inebriated by just like fucking horniness as well. Like you're on the beach and all those things. And it is like a form of being like drunk is like when you're just like
you're completely intoxicated
and you're completely not thinking rationally.
You don't think fucking straight. The shit that I've done when I've wanted a shag, Jesus Christ,
yeah, or otherworldly.
Oh, covered someone in yogurt.
You've covered many people and you've wasted so much yogurt, and there's children dying in Africa, Emily, and you've just been covering man after man wastefully in yogurt. You scumbag.
Sounds worse when I say I want to cover you in yogurt.
Because then it sounds oppressive, doesn't it? When you say it, it sounds like a kind of a class thing.
I want to cover you in yogurt.
In dairy product. And I will.
You have a dairy farm as well, don't you?
Yes, I'm going to treat you as a bowl or a plate.
Michael, yes. Milk the cow.
Milk the cow, and as you milk, I milk it onto yourself, and I'll come down and lick it off you like a cat. I want you to be my bowl, my milk bowl, and I the cat.
And if you tell anybody about it, I shall have you sent straight back.
You will be eating with the cows tonight, if you're not careful. You savage. You bloody savage. The Irish are wonderful fun, but they are indeed savages.
I love the Irish. They're wonderful, wonderful fun, but really not made for anything else. Apart from yogurt.
They are not serious people.
They're not the serious people. They're there for yogurt and...
Back to the thing, the beach, the coming.
Panic attack.
The panic attack. Well, so that's... I think that was like the biggest culmination of like probably... just having struggled with anxiety for years. And when I say I struggled, I got through it, but I've had it since I can remember. You know what I mean?
And it goes kind of unrecognized, or there isn't a word for it. There's just sort of this feeling that's surrounding you. And when you've got, and I'm really glad that we're talking about this, because there are a lot of people out there, and I've had conversations with people who go like, oh, panic attacks aren't fucking real. And then I want to be like, okay, cool. Do you want to have one?
Yeah.
Do you want to have a drink?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't mistake one if you're having one. Mm. I mean, you feel like you're going to die.
I had an ambulance called once when I had a panic attack.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was about 18.
Right. Mm. What age are you now?
The internet says I'm 29.
Does it? Because you could be, and this isn't like bullshit lick arsery here, no, but you could be 21. Like Thanks. You do, you know.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah,
I'm 31.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell, you old bitch.
I think you're 30, you're 32.
I am 32, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Did you nail that? Like, did you just guess that, or have I mentioned it?
I think I've just watched a lot of your videos.
Right, yeah.
I'm a really big fan.
I'm probably always banging on about it. But so the anxiety, yes. So I think since I was a teenager, it's just been one crisis after another.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it seems like.
Do you know what, so, like I said, I'm a big fan of Michael. Mm-hmm. One thing that you and Victoria were discussing the other day.
Yeah.
I don't know how far back it was, but talking about you having a piano recital when you were like 15.
Yeah.
And breaking down into tears afterwards.
That's right.
And so I think that kind of comes from the same place of that low level thing that then just bursts through like a little geezer.
Oh.
Geyser,
yeah.
Geezer, fucking like up the level.
How you doing, mate?
He's fucking anxiety. dying.
Oh, you're a lot, innit?
I'm here to fuck up your day.
Fuck you up, mate. I'm here to fuck up your nervous system. You're enjoying breathing, you're about not to. Yeah.
I'm on the beach in Barcelona too.
Yeah. Just tighten up these lungs, you can. See how you like that? Deep breaths, you fucking pansy.
Personifying the panic attack is fucking amazing.
Yeah, you're gonna have to meditate just to get through the day. You're not well, Michael. So I did. That was an amazing one. And do you know what that is as well? Is like that's a mental pattern which just kind of gets formed in your brain. So one of mine was that I just couldn't play piano in front of people. Or if I did, I would just literally,
I go,
people are watching.
Oh, little mic.
And then you're like, and then you're like, bah, bah, bah.
And then it's so bad. It's so bad. And then you can't get it back. Yeah, you can't get it back.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's over. And that one where I did it, so it was for school and it was in front of like these three judges and I knew this song backwards and forwards and it's just like halfway through it. And then once it gets in your head, that's it.
Oh,
like,
so you're done. You're fucking done.
And like that's the worst part about it is once it gets in your head, you're done. So once it got in my head, I was like, and then I just, and then looking over at the judges and they're... It's also like
and they're
scary.
Not helping.
No,
you.
They're not helping. They're not even smiling. They're like just sitting there, like fucking, like just people that are just like professionally miserable.
Professional cunts.
So this is something I've thought about recently because it's just relevant to me. So there, when I froze, I just started like bawling, crying.
No,
and as well, yeah. I was 15. And as well, like, there was such a double life with me as well because I was, like, hanging out with lads and smoking cigarettes and trying to be tough and all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but in reality, I was, you know, a very fragile, sensitive little chap.
My little heart.
Yeah, but you're just putting on, it's such a front. It's interesting. But also there is just a duality. There's different versions of yourself. There was elements of me that could be a little bastard as well and aggressive and all these other things. But it was a start of like my mind just turning on me in a way, like where it's just like, this is me.
And isn't that so frightening?
It's so frightening.
When you go, it's me. Often with like, when I've been into auditions and things like that, I'll sit on the one side of it going, I wonder how this is going to go. Even though it's me in that room technically I should have control over it and I should be able to do it, I'm like, I wonder how this is going to go. I wonder if you're going to be on my side or not. And the fact that you do not have control is fucking frightening.
It's insane. Yeah. It's like, and I know that like, I see people like, you know, because of my anxiety and different things I've done, like this morning, I got up, meditated, then did a breathing exercise, then ran, then did a cold shower. Then this is like just all to just get myself like,
just come see Emily Lang.
Yeah,
fuck
just
it,
to
no.
come, because I knew you were not going to be good for my mental state. And I was right. My mind's a bag of spiders right now. I do not feel well.
I do not feel safe.
I would love if I had a panic attack live on the fucking...
God, I would love that. Oh, I'd win a fucking Pulitzer.
The views, unbelievable. So...
So you did all of that. I mean, that's impressive.
And I do all of that. So like, I'm like, it's every little thing, you know, it's like the meditating, I'm trying to stop drinking and you know, and I've gone through my phase of like, you know, drinking and drugs and all that. And I've had a good time, but, doing all this shit. Mm. And then I still like, and like, so I went through a big period of insomnia there where I was just absolutely, this is like in the very recent, I mean, I didn't sleep much last night, so it's not like I'm out of it, but it's in a much less pronounced stage. I went through like weeks where I was barely sleeping at all, and I was losing my mind, like just starting to see things, hear things, and again.
But you do. That's why it's a torture technique that people don't sleep, because it does shit to you.
It does shit to you. You're at such a low vibration every day. It's like you've kind of like this inability to feel joy, even, because you're just constantly, your mind is frowning. You're just like trying to get through things. And then you're doing all these, because I was reading books about it. I was, you know, doing everything to try remedy it. Part of me is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, your father just gets up every day and works on a farm for 12 hours. Like, why can't you just do that? And I'm, you know, just kind of half falling apart. But it's, again, the sleep thing is like, it's just me. It's my own mind just fucking me up. There's nothing external going on. It's myself.
Why are you not on my side? Why are you not on my side?
Why are you doing this to me?
Why the fuck are you doing this to me? This is bad for both of us, man. This is bad for both of us. What are you doing? Then there's this gremlin sat in your brain going,
yeah.
This is fucking jokes.
100%.
Yeah.
So I would have this thing where, like, I'd be like, I'd be going to sleep and I'm like, sleep, sleep, sleep. Right as I'm about to, just literally a jolt of anxiety.
I have that. I have that.
And now I'm like, I'm up again, and then just right as I'm about to go to sleep, you're fucked, and
your body. It's I had a massive breakdown, and I started having seizures as like a result of this, of what had happened, and one thing that I had was when I tried to go to sleep, and I was going between my mum's and my dad's in the country because they were like, we need to get you out of London and you're going off to rehab. And I remember lying in bed and my body wouldn't stop jerking.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I tried to stop it, I couldn't stop jerking.
Yeah.
And then I'd like go to be falling asleep, finally. And then my body would go and wake me back up again. And it was like this, and it's like this side effect of anxiety that you cannot control.
Yes.
And it is, and there's nothing you can do.
And it's in...
Unless you like dope yourself the fuck up, and then
But you're even worse when you come off, because I tried to, like, I was taking sleeping pills and then Xanax and these stuff, but they started becoming less and less effective. So I still was only sleeping a few hours, but then you'd feel even worse, because especially sleeping pills are filth, like.
Oh, they are
fucking filth. Like, you wake up with like a head, like a fucking bin. There's rats in your head. Like, you're just like, fucking hell.
Everything's moving. And,
absolutely. You close your eyes and it's just like a tree ring circus. Like, and the dreams are disgraceful. You know what I mean? It's your fucking auntie shagging a donkey. You're like, fuck?
Don't make me see that again.
Yeah.
It was worth the first time.
The donkey is...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Spanish granny tits with porridge in it, and you're like, wait, what?
It's me with yogurt in the
background. Just you, just spraying yogurt like a flower girl at a wedding. Just, for you.
You get some yogurt.
You get some yogurt. No one wants the yogurt, Emily. They're getting it.
They're bloody getting the yogurt.
Getting it.
Dreams.
I was trying all that. But it's again, it's such a cycle. And then, so you, when you had it and you were jerking around and you were jerking, so you weren't sleeping.
I wasn't sleeping, no. And if I did sleep, it was like, it was so vivid that I would dream I was back in the place where my breakdown started, and either things were going differently or they were going worse.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I just could not escape. I couldn't escape.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Even as it was going on, like, the only thing I could tell myself, right, when it's done, you'll be able to make it funny at some point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is my philosophy for everything.
Yeah.
Is that at some point, everything becomes funny.
It does.
The worst moment of my life, which for months I couldn't even begin to discuss. I'm now like, that's actually quite funny.
Really?
It's actually quite
funny. And have
funny.
You discussed it on here or no?
Only like a little bit. A little bit. But basically, just don't take mushrooms when you're not in safe company.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, Michael.
Yeah.
No, I had a mushroom trip that fucked me up for like 3 months. Yeah. I was absolutely a shadow of myself.
Yeah. It
wandering around.
Fucked me.
Yeah.
But as my friend Arthur says, that he says every time he does mushrooms, something happens. And he was like, even though that was the worst thing that happened, you turned out to be the best. So actually.
Yeah. Good man, Arthur. That's, well, all the, like, anyone who's like big into psychedelics, like if you tell them like you've had a bad trip, but
was it bad?
But dude, that's the good stuff, man. It's like, yeah, but I stabbed my little brother. No, but dude. That's going to bring you guys closer. He's dead. Well, look, he's gone to a better place, yeah. Man.
He's on his Come on, plane. Dude. You're going to meet in hell one day.
Yeah, dude. And you're going to be so happy this happened. So
it was a bit like that.
Yeah. And that's just there. Like, there's nothing you can say to them that happened on a trip that they're not going to be like, but this is going to fucking ding.
I love this character.
Yeah. Well, so I met this guy who used to live underneath me when I lived in Chicago.
I don't know what, for some reason, I think like you lived underneath a bridge.
I thought, like, as I said it, I was like, just this little guy under my bed, like, wake up, dude. It's time to get up. Wake and bake, brother.
Like a clown in Poltergeist.
Absolutely. So this fella, Chris, so I lived in, when I lived in Chicago, I had this guy who lived underneath me. And he was like what's known as a deadhead. So it's like people who like follow the Grateful Dead, this band. So they travel around the country and just do fucking drugs and just say, follow the dead, dude. You'll never feel more alive. You know, that was their life.
What a life.
Yeah. But like what happens is this life when you're like 18 to 21 is kind of cool and you're going doing it. But if you don't move on, it kind of just gets like really depressing and like fucking grim. So he was living down there and he's like 30 now. And like he was living underneath our flat. And I remember when we walked in the first day we were moving in, he was just like, hey, man, he's like, we live downstairs. We're going to be your family, brother.
Oh, fuck.
And, and we were like, good. I don't know if we're going to adopt you, Chris, now, to be honest. if you went to the orphanage, I think you'd be left there. He's like, we're family, man. And it turned out what he meant by family is that we would just give him shit for free. So, like, because his whole thing was, like, he's like, what's mine is yours and what yours is mine, brother.
Oh, my God, no, Chris.
But see, it's fine for him because he doesn't have anything.
He's like,
what's mine is yours. You can have the piss on the wall or you can have the rat in the kitchen. You can have whatever is mine is yours.
So I'll take this bag that you brought with you.
That's right. So, like, we'd be cooking, like, if you were cooking at and upstairs, like, it'd be like, he would literally flow up from the fumes. He'd just float up the stairs like this and you'd just be like, oh, what are you cooking, brother? But he would frame everything like it was this like sacred like bond. He's like, you come in and you'd be cooking, he'd be like, brother, it would be my honor to break bread with you, brother.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
Chris.
I know. But so he's framing it like this like sacred oath of bacon between brothers. And he's like, so like, he'd be like, so if you said no, like you were like somehow like violating this like oath of family, dog. So like, you would literally come up and like you
so manipulative.
So manipulative. Unbelievable. So like you'd be cooking like just bacon or something and then he'd just be like, it would be my honor to break bread with you, brother. And then like you just have to be like, right, okay. And then you like hand him out some, I remember when I just handed him out some bacon, he took one bit and he just like throws it in his mouth like and he's burning it. He just and then he's like, and then he just like takes another bit, puts it in his pocket. He's like, I'll see you later, brother. He just like fucks off down. And then one night I came back from like a night out and I was like pretty drunk. And then you say, ah, brother, you're drunk. He's like, I'm going to take care of you, brother. And then I was like, oh, all right. But I was just drunk. I was like, fuck it. I'll come into Chris's little fucking den.
In return for old bacon.
Exactly.
I'm going to take care of you.
So he's like, I'm going to take care of you, brother. I'm going to make you feel okay, man. So he comes into his bedroom And anyway, he just, you sit there, man. He goes over to like this little box and he comes back with this little thing and he goes, put that in your mouth, bro. This gonna make you feel better, man. And then I was like, all right, right, whatever. I was just so drunk. I was like, fuck it, whatever. So I just put it in and, then like he goes over to the music and starts like putting on like the Doors, just like break on through, and then he starts looking at me like
No.
And then I didn't even know. I was like, Chris, what did you give me there? And I'd never done psychedelics. He's like, oh, that's a message, man.
No.
And I was like, Chris, what the fuck? That's some acid. And then I was like, what? And then he just said, yeah, man, that's some strong acid, dude. This is, you're gonna have a good time. And then I was like, did you take any? He's like, fuck no, brother. He's like, I've got work tomorrow. And I said, I've got work tomorrow as well, Chris. I've got to do it. He's like, oh shit, that's going to be tough, man. Because you just took a lot of acid, dude. And anyway, I swear to God. And I was like, Chris, you fucking. And then I just blacked out.
No!
I swear to God, I just blacked out. And I woke up the next day on the stairs between our two apartments.
Michael!
Yeah, on the stairs between our two apartments. And I just woke up and I was like, what the fuck? And so I was like kind of getting up and like Chris comes out the door and he goes, oh, brother, he's like, you were fucked up last night, man. And you were like, you were on the ground and you were crying, saying you were the devil and shit. You were like, you know,
all that Catholic guilt.
Yeah. And then he was like, but I took care of you, brother. I took care of you. And then I was like in my head and I remember, I was like, didn't you fucking.
You fucking saw
you
it.
You gave me acid last night. He was like, oh, yeah, brother. He's like, you got $20 for the acid. I was like, you must be fucking joking me, Chris.
I have never wanted
to kill someone more in my life.
No more bacon for you.
Yeah, that's the last bit of bacon you're getting, brother.
Brother.
Family, man. Little bastards.
What?
I know.
Little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was the first time. That was the first time I ever did. I ever did psychedelics, but I can't even remember it. So fucked. But the mushroom trip. So when you did it.
Yeah.
Like what was like, as in the night itself was.
The night in question.
Was, yeah, the night in question was hellish.
Yeah, it was really bad.
I don't know if you have this. I'm starting to get a thing with like, not even starting, but like, I don't know if I can do, I don't think I'll do psychedelics again.
Yeah.
I don't know because.
I mean, I'll just, oh, Mickey's busting his head against the camera. He's all right. I don't know.
That means you are going to do them again.
But I think like in my head, in the same way people go, are you going to drink again? And I'm like, I don't know. Because right. I think if I say,
I'm definitely not
going to do it, then with my addict brain, I'll be like, fucking, the fucking mushrooms.
Where is your mushrooms? Just like a little truffle.
Don't give me a little fucking truffles.
Windows. Where are they?
They're the bloody hell.
You're hoarding them, aren't you, Felipe? Where are they? Tell me now.
Basically, I have to be like, nah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's, I think I'm, because I actually had stopped drinking. I had stopped drinking.
Lovely.
I'd stopped drinking for like 2 months. And I was reading a book about not drinking and I was feeling very good.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something, I don't know if you can attest to this, because when you stop drinking, if it's for like a week or two, you don't, it takes a while for you to actually really feel the good effects of not drinking. And then like about 6 weeks in, I was like, I actually feel so much better and like more stable.
Yeah. Well, it's just, like you said, when you came in, you were like, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And you said it exactly like that.
Yeah.
How are you doing? And I went, I'm actually all right. Yeah. I'm actually all right. And I was like, nothing great has happened. I'm not like wandering around in euphoria being like, this is fucking awesome. I'm just like, I think I'm just pretty normal.
You're grand.
I think I'm just like a normal person. I feel sad in the way that normal people feel sad.
Yeah.
I'm normal. I don't like using the word normal. I don't know how muggles feel sad.
Right.
But like, I ain't a fucking muggle.
But you're not a muggle. No.
No.
You're a purebred wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizardess. Yes.
A wizardess.
Well, you're a witch. It turned negative very quickly there. I didn't want it to, but yes. But so on the anxiety thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm still in it at the, it's one of those things where I'm just still in it. Mm. I haven't had anything solved at the minute. But you go through periods of like, I'm fine. And then then it's just back and you're like,
yeah,
fuck.
It's, it's God, it's so fucking confusing because you'll find that you'll be all right at some point, but not know how it actually came to be all right. And more often than not, it comes from some kind of distraction, external validation, whether it be work or a relationship or something else. So you're being distracted. And then when the euphoria of that peters off,
yeah,
or it ends, then everything comes flooding back like a brick shit house.
That's
and,
right.
Discovering the root of it is really fucking hard. And yes. Meditating. Do you find that if you that you get anxious if you don't meditate or run or take a cold shower or anything like that? If you don't do your little.
But you know what it is? It's like a mental thing then, because you're like, I haven't done those things,
and therefore I'm going to have a shit day.
And then therefore I'm going to have a shit day. And then because everything is like. It's all stories you're telling yourself, obviously, and we're just constantly creating these little stories in our mind. So if I don't do that stuff, then the story starts becoming.
Yeah.
If I feel anything bad, it's like, well, you haven't meditated.
Yeah.
You haven't ran. You've been lazy. Blah blah blah. And so then
it's like a strange form of OCD.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's a good point, actually. But so, like in my head, it's just constantly stories running. All the time about everything, and I'd love to be.
That is a form of OCD. A lot of people, same way with ADHD, they think it's just about like being really excitable and moving around all the time. Yeah. It's not at all. Same way with OCD, people assume it's like about being really tidy or having to switch the light switch. It's not. It's there's a lot of OCD that comes with repeated thoughts.
Yeah.
Or unwanted loop stories.
Yeah, and I have a lot of that to the extent that I don't trust my own. Mind, you know, which is weird, like as in like if I feel anxious about certain things which would cause me to stay away from them, if I was to listen to that, I would never date anyone, or I would never do anything, because my mind will create this about almost everything, like this is bad, they're bad,
this is
and it'll just create every kind of a negative story.
It feels like a defense mechanism, and it's a sort of survival thing of you imagining the worst case scenario, so if it happens, it's not a shock.
Yes, and also just creating this massive importance on something like if you're seeing someone and you like them, and then this idea, what if it doesn't work out? And in your head, that is like this cataclysmic fucking thing.
Yeah.
And what if I hurt this person, or what if blah blah blah? And it's just in your head, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. And then in reality, like if you're just to sit down with it, and it's just like, well, what would happen? It'd be fine.
Yeah.
It'd be absolutely fine. Yeah. You're adults, people move on, people get over.
You just need to have like a little internal conversation with you and your inner child.
Yeah. I do talk to that little bastard. And I am so cruel to
shit.
Yeah. No, I do have him. I do sit him down and be like, because I think a lot of it is like a little person.
No, I don't want to. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Or going like, oh, fuck, I'm being told I'm a piece of shit. I'm not good enough. And I need to make sure that everything's okay, because then I'm going to get in trouble.
That's right.
And then you got to go like, okay, I love you.
Yes.
I love you. You are a cute little. I know that people telling you you're not, but you're really cute.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks very much. Because aesthetics is important. Big Emily. Yeah. It goes a bit like that.
I have stuff like that as well, but and it's the exact same energy little Mike has, which is just like, oh no, but what if you're bad and they're not good enough,
they don't like you, and it's gonna end really bad, and you're gonna be really sad,
and there goes it. And then I have to just be like, lass, you're good, you're grand, it's okay, you're safe. I love you haven't done anything wrong.
You're safe and you matter. The two big questions in life, do I matter and am I safe? You matter and you're safe. It's okay.
Yeah. I never thought about the matter one before.
Do I matter and am I safe? And if you think about it, any room that you walk into or anywhere you go, that is subconsciously kind of what you're thinking.
Yes.
Because if someone talks down to you or dismisses you, you feel like you don't matter, and that's essentially like what is so painful.
Yes.
So you've got to be like, you matter. That person's a fucking gun.
Yeah. Like, I would love to get to a stage, because you can see some people. I'm envious of.
Oh, you're envious of.
Well, envious of people who just like. And it's just because I was reading. It's an interesting. So I was reading this book called The Science of Storytelling, it's called. But it's basically. It's all about the way we tell ourselves stories, to like what I was talking about earlier, like it's just all this, that's how we perceive the world. Because the world is just like fucking chaos. Like just
atoms smashing off each other.
We don't really know. But just for the human mind to stay sane, we have to make things linear and chronological and kind of fit into these stories just so that for us to comprehend everything and not go fucking berserk. But so I was like, I was looking at that, or I was reading that, and then they were saying in that, that like, it was just basically going through like the different like personality types of like people who are high in like openness, and then people who are high in like fucking conscientiousness, and people who love routine, and then people who are search out for a new experience and blah, blah, blah. And these are the different like just ways that you can be wired.
And it's crazy when you're really good at all of them.
Yeah. Like you, you're just everything to everyone. It's and like, you've nailed it all.
It is both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
It's hard being the voice of a generation.
Well, that's your biggest... I was going to say that about you. Your biggest weakness is your flawlessness. Is your lack of any flaw, any discernible flaw.
People are too jealous of me. Because what you were leading up to is getting your envious.
It's very hard to relate to you. I found you impenetrable.
Let's go back to that serious thing, because that was a very good point that you were making about how people are like...
Because in my head, it was actually very interesting, but also a little bit... depressing in a way, because it was like, you know, we think of ourselves as kind of special in a way. Mm. Like we all do. I think we're just programmed through that, our egos in some way, like I'm like this and this is who I am and I have these thoughts and feelings and stuff. And it's like, well, it's just a specific model of ape. You're just a specific model that was modeled this way. So you're high in openness and these things, and like you want new experiences and stuff like that. But it says in the book, but people who have these traits then often suffer a lot more psychologically than people who are like just like routine and they are conscientious and they don't want that much change and they go A to B and have that and security, and then they and then people like me might be like, ah, you're boring or blah 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 whatever, but it's like they're actually
they're
more content, they're much happier,
much happier.
And
it sort of sounds but I'm exactly the same that I'm like, fuck that, they're fucking boring, they're not routine, blah, blah, blah. But actually, with it comes a lot of stability and mental calmness. But it's kind of this toss-up of going, because and actually this is going to lead me on to my next question. Because there are so many wonderful things with coming, being a person like this, and it's almost this, like, the deal you make with the gods of fun.
Going,
you're going to suffer.
That's right, yeah.
So we were talking before, you know, about how with a certain amount of creativity and maybe inconsistency comes with mental instability. But I personally would not give back the things that I really love about myself that come with being that side.
Yes.
Even though it comes with this mental instability.
Yeah.
So what I want to ask you is, like, what are the things about you that you, Mike, as a person, really like?
Oh, that's a good question. This is a question we should like ask ourselves more.
Exactly.
I think I'm an empathetic person and I think I'm a kind person.
That's my favorite ones.
Yeah. So, and I think everyone, I think that's like, even sometimes I think in like, you know, you see in modern like dating life and stuff, and I see the way even men and women kind of treat each other at times. And it's all a bit, there can be a lot of it's a bit mean.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, people just fucking
be nice.
Be kind.
Just be nice.
Just be sound. Yeah. Like, what's, you know what I mean? Like, have a fucking heart. Treat people like in some way decently.
Just, like, with mutual respect of time and just like, it doesn't take a lot.
That's right. It doesn't take a lot. Like, the whole thing about, like ghosting people is like, it's just, to me, that is just because all it takes is a fucking text and press send.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. You don't even, for the most part, have to see the person, but just to just like freeze it.
Yeah.
At nothing. Now, don't
I've been ghosted by 3 men in the last like 3 months. To be fair, I didn't like any of them and I wanted to be the one to end it, so I'm annoyed that they ghosted me.
Right. But like, also, if it's like one day and it didn't, like, to me, if it's one day and it didn't like fucking whatever, it was like, whatever, then it's like, and if neither of you text each other, I think that's fine.
That's totally fine.
And now, because even my head, I'm like, this just sounds like I'm gloating. Like, I've been asked to say things I like about myself. I've plenty that
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, please do.
But so kind, empathetic, brave.
Brave is my best. Brave is yeah. the best one.
Yeah.
Brave is, I'm so, Mike, you're the first person to say yeah. it. And it's the biggest compliment I can give anybody is being yes. fearless. And yeah. I think bravery, and it's one, Harry Trevelyan was asked me the things that I said that I like about myself. And brave is the first one.
Yeah.
And I think it's the most magical quality in a person.
Yeah.
I really, really do.
Yeah. So I...
Well done.
Like, having courage. Like, even if I look at my younger self and some of the things I just got through and, like, and kept going. And yeah. even, like, having the balls to go do comedy and yeah. do the things that were, like, just so out of... No one I'd ever known had done anything like that. Yeah. And, like...
It takes guts. It yeah. takes fucking guts.
Yeah, and I'm proud of that younger version of myself, you know, to have that bravery and just doing things that, like, scare me. And don't get me wrong, there are times where I think I, you know, and that's, I will be hard on myself if I feel I lacked courage in a situation.
Yeah,
know?
I understand.
Or I was a bit.
Yeah.
I don't like the word cowardly because it hurts my soul to yeah. think of myself that way. But I hate if I let fear get the best of me.
I have it with people a lot.
Yeah.
I get very scared around people. I don't get scared of things or like journeys, but with people, like, I can be a coward.
Oh no, me too. Yeah. And if it's like, if it's something like something, if I have to say something that might hurt someone's feelings like that.
Oh yeah.
Or I think it'll hurt someone's feelings. That will like that's, I will actually die.
Oh,
I, like
yeah. it's just, it's the worst. It's the worst. I can't
I
do it.
Can't believe. I'm like, it'll ruin days.
Yeah.
at a time for me.
Yeah.
And yeah. And now what's another? See, the funny thing is like it's like being, I always have a weird relationship with that because it's like also you do it for a living.
Mm.
And then, and when I was younger, when I had very bad self-esteem and it was the only thing I thought was worthy about myself was that I was funny.
Yeah.
Like I was like, if I wasn't this, I'd be nothing. So I had so much reliance on it that now I'm like almost like I want to be liked for more than that or something or yeah. like that I don't...
Seen for more than that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or I don't, yeah, yeah. or I kind of resent that people expected of me, mm-hmm. you know? Whereas I just want to be...
Like, be funny. Come on.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
Tell us a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
100%.
I love all those ones. I think that's fucking brilliant. That was a really good list. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Mike. We have another portion of the podcast that we like to call Thank You Letters. We'd like you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing.
Yeah.
For which you feel gratitude.
Yes. Chicago. I went to Chicago when I was 24. And I
is that
years.
Where you had the threesome?
Huh? I did have the threesome in Chicago, yes, but I was back visiting.
So fuck, well, it's one of my favorite fucking things I've ever seen yeah. on the internet.
Yeah.
I'll post it. So good.
Yeah, it was
oh, because some of Wimbledon ball. Boy.
Yeah, it was great. It was a fun, that was a very fun, reckless little adventure.
Chicago.
Yeah. But so Chicago, when I moved there first, because that was. That was me making the decision to just go do comedy, go on my own. And it was a time where it's just like, oh, you can do anything you want. You can just move to America because we could get a visa being Irish at the time for a year.
Mm.
And I went there and just started doing it every day. And then the people I met there were, it was the first time, I think really in my life, I felt I could be myself or the version of myself that I wanted to be,
yeah.
which was... Very
well. No one has any prior experience of you.
And that's right.
You're not in a place where anyone's, and also you're kind of novel as an Irish person. There,
that's absolutely right. And you're special. You're more special, and you get more attention. And it's lovely. Yum yum yum. Yum.
Yeah.
and you have a little acid spiking hippie living underneath you, Jesus and it's just Christ. It's just a dream. Yeah. But I felt I could be. I always felt when I was younger, grown up where I grew up, it's just, you know, like as it was same here, you know, but like, you know, no one talked about like really how they were feeling. Nobody, it was just all kind of swept under the rug. People didn't really tell the truth about most things, as in, like, you know, adults were just like, just you don't talk about sex and you don't talk about this and that. And just these things that were just like part of life were like, we just don't address them.
Yeah.
And even as a younger person, you know, or even sex or drugs or any of these things, like they were just, you know, it was a very Catholic upbringing and people were like kind of this seriousness. And I remember even as a young person thinking, this is so strange that
everything's dealt with a very heavy hand.
Right. Yeah. And that so much things are just not talked about because it's not proper to talk about, but they are what we're all feeling. And, but yet we mustn't talk about it. And when I went to America, and even with like a group of friends, like, you know, we're Irish teenagers and you're growing up and it's like, you know, and my friends are great and everything, but like, you know, our language with each other was just slagging each other off. And like, you know, you couldn't be vulnerable. And when I met people in Chicago, like the other people who did comedy, like everyone was just like hard on, like as in like they were just casually just be like, yeah, man, I'm depressed and I'm this and I'm that. And yeah, I couldn't get it off last night and blah, blah. And they just say it like whatever.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the biggest breath of fresh air I've ever had in my life.
100%. You go into this place and you're like, fuck, there's another way to live.
Absolutely.
There's another way to live.
And I just feel so much better.
Yeah, I feel
like myself. And it's like, and you can be so funny within honesty.
Yeah.
Being really honest about stuff. That's where it's real
funny stuff comes from. 100%.
So I'm very grateful for that place and that time in my life and the friends I made there and the threesome I had.
And the threesome.
The
tiny little threesome.
Let's not forget the threesome.
I've been trying to get into one, but no one's let me yet.
Nobody's let you in. They're knocking on the door.
Let me in.
We're closed. I know we're closed, but you hear them whispering, just being like,
get down.
Yeah, get down.
I can see you.
No, you can't. I'm a couch. I'm not a person. I'm a couch.
Let me in.
Yeah.
I've got lube.
We've already got lube. We don't need it.
She's got lube. Should we let her in? No.
No. No.
I'll never leave.
Can you spit?
Should we also say thank you to Vittorio?
Yeah.
On this podcast, because without Vittorio, I don't think I would have come across you, and I'm very happy that you're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks for having me. That was great. I loved it. Loved it.
And can we plug anything that you are doing at the moment?
Edinburgh Fringe Festival, if anyone's going to be at the Fringe.
Are you going to the Fringe?
I'm doing the Fringe. So I'm doing a show at 10:15 at the Beehive. It's on edinburghfringe.com. If you type in Mike Rice, Hand of a Sinner is the name of the show.
Fucking
which is a line.
Yeah. Which is from the line.
Yes, the threesome, yes. So that's the name of the show. And then I'm going to be doing another show, which I still have to register. That's going to be at 4:15. It's just going to be a work in progress. So just trying new stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the Fringe. And then if you have any listeners in Cork, in Ireland,
I've been
doing a solo show there on July 28th. And then Mike and Vittorio's Guide to Parenting, the podcast, every week.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to go live or something.
No.
Oh, God, that's not exciting.
No. You got very excited there. Oh, easy. So
Mike and Vittorio's Guide to Parenting, which is my favourite thing to listen to at the moment.
So that, and then I've another podcast with another Irish man called Big Mike and the Chief, which is also fun and is just really weird. And mad. And so those two podcasts, check them out at Mike Rice Comedy on Instagram.
And that's it.
That's it, brother.
Join me next week with my beautiful friend Kat Sims. If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at emily_laying_UK. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favorite place, person, or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.